Today we are going to receive the word of God from a servant of God. He's coming from the Crystal University as head of he's the head of faculty of leadership and theology there. He's been coming here for a couple of times, him and his wife, as a wonderful servant of the Lord. And this is none other than Reverend Andrew Sakala. I would like to now put our hands together as we welcome this servant of the Lord to come to the front and give us the word of God this morning. Thank you. This is an opportunity you cannot miss. Make sure that you capture every line that you say, because new people come with new jokes and the new illustrations and the fantastic. Man of God.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Praise the Lord. I greet you all in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. First of all, I'd like to just appreciate the honor and the privilege to stand before you and minister God's word from Pastor Walker and the leadership of the church. I really appreciate it. I take it as a great honor. And we trust that the Lord will bless us together. Amen. Praise God. And so that I just save you from looking for the most beautiful woman in this auditorium, I'd like to introduce my wife, Yvonne. Could you kindly stand? You see, Muzisanka Buino. Now, a transliteration of that is, you know, literally, choose nicely. You know, we have three side effects, two boys and a girl. And, you know, it's important you choose properly, because, you know, when the children come, you shouldn't go there and say, "What happened?" So, praise the Lord. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say to them, "I'm the apple of God's eye. I am loved by God. He is my God. And most importantly, He is my Father." Praise the Lord. Let's just pray together as we look into God's word. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We thank you for your grace that is sufficient for each one of us. We ask, O God, that your hand be upon us, O God, as we look into your word and endeavor to discover what it is you want us to experience out of your word. We submit ourselves to your word, we humble ourselves, and we ask, O God, that you may have the preeminence in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been following the series that Pastor has been taking on the Holy Spirit, and he asked me to preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What I've done is that I've put a few PowerPoints for you to just follow. I'll talk around them. And we trust that those of you who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit will be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, the pastor has been emphasizing the work of the Spirit as he applies his sovereignty and his power upon our lives. This aspect of the work of the Spirit has to do with the baptism, the empowering for service. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." As a matter of fact, in the original text, that "be filled" has to do with present tense continuous. Continue to be filled in the Spirit. Continue to be filled in the Spirit. The church, as it began in the book of Acts, began by the power of the Holy Spirit. What we're going to do today is just look into the book of Acts as where we will center our thoughts and be able to draw some understanding from the book of Acts. And we'll be able to see what God wants us to experience as a church today. So what I want to do is two basic things. I want to talk about what is it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and why is it? What is it? And why is it? Hopefully, I will ignite in you a hunger and a thirst for experiencing the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is not an exclusive thing for a few people. The Bible says this promise is for all of you. Can I hear an amen? It's for all of you. So we're going to look into God's word And we'll set a precedence that is found in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. I'm really happy that this is really the heart of what the church should look like, moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So let's look at the book of Acts as we start. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's a familiar portion of scripture. Acts, the first chapter and verse 8. The Bible reads, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." This was a promise that was given, speaking to the disciples of that time, that they would receive power. Jesus says, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power, because it is necessary for you to be endued with power. You cannot be effective until you are endued with power." And I know, on the tenets of faith in this church, that we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why we believe it is because it's scriptural. Amen. And I like the fact that Pastor always talks about, if it's in the Bible, he'll believe it. All right. If it's in the Bible, we'll go by what the Bible says, not what tradition or church tradition says. So the book of Acts introduces us to this concept, or this truth rather, of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The second passage of scripture is in the same book, Acts chapter 2. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I hope you've all come with your Bibles. If you haven't, you are in the flesh. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Notice those wordings, one accord in one place. Hopefully we're in one accord, and of course we're in one place. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So we ask ourselves the question, we see that in scripture, is it for their time or is it for our time too? So the passage of scriptures that we have read indicate that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Are we together? There is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to ask ourselves is a few fundamental questions. What is the major purpose of the baptism? Question number one. What is the major purpose of the baptism? What should church people be like? What should you be like? What is God's major concern? What does the New Testament church look like? How are we to live in the center of God's purpose? I'll endeavor to look at those questions as we talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some people are afraid of the baptism in the Holy Spirit because they think, well, you know, I'll be out of control. You know, I'll look strange. I just might receive a bad spirit. You know, be careful of these things, my brother. That is not what the Bible is telling us. The Bible is telling us, first of all, that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a promise. Amen. Now follow me. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a promise. It's been promised to you. Let's look at what the Bible says. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. We had read from there. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." For the promise of the Father, "which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Because it is a promise. In chapter 2 and verse 38. Chapter 2 and verse 38, the Bible says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you repent and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So indeed, it is a promise. What I've discovered in my life is that the Holy Spirit helps me in everything, because I cannot do anything without Him. Are you following me? As a matter of fact, the pastor has been talking about just how that you cannot do it yourself. You need the work of the Spirit in you. It reminds me of a story. There was a man who had a background of drinking. He was a heavy drinker, and so one of the greatest temptations he had after getting saved was drinking. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, if you came to me with a brown bottle, no matter how much it is sweating, I would just look at it and wipe it. It doesn't mean anything to me because I haven't had that background. But for some of you in here, you're even looking guilty. For some of you in here, the brown bottle is a great and massive temptation. So what this brother did, he was walking along the road, and unfortunately the route he took was near a drinking place. It was too late to turn back. And so he heard, you know, the sound of bottles and laughter. Hey, 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 cling, cling, you know. Ha, 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 you know. And so he was walking in the heartbeat. So he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, as he was approaching, passing the door, he turned toward the door. And he said, "Satan, stop pushing me." I don't think the devil will push you. "Get thee behind me" means have nothing to do with me. Amen. So I will endeavor to just share, as I talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fact that the Spirit of God gives you power. That's the second point. The baptism is power for witness. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles," because they had been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can look at the other passages as well in chapter 8 and verse 14. But they had the power of God to do the works of God. The power of God to do the works of God. So the baptism, what is it? It's the promise of the Father. It is also the power to do the works of God. Thirdly, the baptism is it's God's purpose for His divine results. For God to accomplish what He wants to accomplish on the earth, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is part of His purpose. Look at what it says in chapter 6 of the same book. Chapter 6 and verse 7. "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." The purpose is for the kingdom of God to be expanded. God's agenda is to win souls. God loves people. God's agenda is for people to come into His kingdom. And you are the instrument for that. God's desire, just like somebody said, as it is the nature of fire to burn, it is the nature of God to be a missionary. God wants to reach people. God cares about people. And so His agenda, His kingdom agenda, is to reach as many people as those who submit to Him. So there we have it. That's His purpose. So when we are talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we're not just talking about being able to speak in tongues. That's only part of it. Being able to shake a little bit. Shiva maybe. But it's much more than that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the purpose of the kingdom. Have you noticed in the Bible that always God's priority is the kingdom? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And when the church leaves its mandate of missionary work, and I'm talking about missionary work as in the context of reaching people, when it leaves that mandate, it begins to deteriorate. And as a matter of fact, sometimes the things that we're seeking after, we don't get because we don't put God as a priority. You see, he says, all these things shall be added unto you. Because if you're looking for money, 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 come to me. Money, come to me. It never comes. You go upside down, come now. It doesn't come. Because the priority of God's heart, God will finance his priority. Are you with me? And I do believe in prosperity. I do believe that God wants to bless you out of your socks. I believe that. But it is important for us to put things first. And that is the kingdom of God comes first. Then all these things shall be added unto you. So the Holy Spirit, as we go on a little bit further, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the church for power to disciple the nations. It's for power to disciple the nations. Consider yourself a world Christian. Are you here? Consider yourself a world Christian. Now think about it. Wherever you go with God. Wherever you are with the Lord. And any opportunity you take, take it to glorify God. When you have an opportunity to meet people, don't complain about the weather, about the government, you know. You know, how can they say that about Barroseland? Eh? 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 And the guy is not saved you're talking to. Imagine, imagine. Changing and firing everybody all the time. Why? 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 It's a waste of time. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And it begins in your home, isn't it? It begins in your home. It reminds me of another story. I have many. Husband and wife arguing. The husband is upset with the wife. And you know, for us pastors, we go and visit, you know, and we in here we're all in our good behavior, isn't it? Everybody looks holy here. You know, everybody. Everybody looks nice, you know. But we don't know how vicious you are. Yes. Some are so vicious. First of all, it's the nose that opens first thing. And they start breathing heavily. Do you know me? Are you guilty husbands? Arguing, you know. The husband. Chicken. And a sausage. Burning the food. And then the wife responds, "This your body. This your body. I catapulted in the dustbin." And then the pastor comes and knocks. He's hearing this, wah, 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 wah. And then they open the door. "Oh, hello, Pastor. Praise the Lord. No. It's nice to see you. Please come in." And you know the best person to ask whether you're a Christian, if we ask secretly whether you're a Christian, is your house servant. We'll ask the house servant. Excuse me, are they Christians in here? At who? May the Holy Spirit help you. Amen. May the Spirit of God help you. And may He empower you today to live a righteous life. Hallelujah. It is an endorsement of God's divine purpose, as we have said. The priority of God's heart is people. John 20:21. The Bible says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So that is what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about. Its power, its promise, its power, it's His purpose. Now, why the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Why is it? We've said what it is, but why is it? The first thing I want to say, and I want to speak quickly, is number one, communion with God. That's what happens. When the Spirit of God is working, there's communion with God. Number one, communion with God. He gives you a prayer language. When the Spirit of God came upon the church, there are five major outpourings in the book of Acts. Five major ones. Jerusalem, Antioch, Caesarea, Samaria, Ephesus. There are five major outpourings. And at every point when there's an outpouring of the Spirit, they spoke in tongues. And then there was an evangelistic discourse. So in other words, even the miracles that were happening in the book of Acts were not just to make people feel God is spectacular. You see, God doesn't do a miracle just to prove to you that he's powerful. God's purpose in the miracles is so that his kingdom and his purpose will be fulfilled in the miraculous. Are you hearing me? That is why when they said to Jesus, show us a sign. Jesus wasn't moved by, that kind of thing. The purpose for the miracle, in fact, the Bible says, these signs shall follow you. What is a sign? A sign points you to something, isn't it? A sign is not an end in itself. You don't look at the signpost and stay there. You look at the signpost and it shows you where you are supposed to go. So the signs, these signs shall follow you. Follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons and so on and so forth. It's for the kingdom of God. And for the glory of God. So communion with God. God gives you a prayer language. Living in the reality of that relationship. You experience his joy and his power. You experience his fellowship every day. Because of that prayer language. I'm not talking about imitated tongues. Chihuahua, yellow bow tie, Kalagas heater. No. I'm talking about tongues that are given by the Spirit of God. You have communion with God. Secondly, you have community with others. I like what Pastor said, and I think I said it in last week's message. You know, you can't say you love God if you hate your brother. It's not possible. And the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor, bond nor free. Let me add a little bit, no black, no white. And if you are a racist, you are in serious trouble. I gave this illustration one time when I was teaching in the Bible college. I said, if God gave you all his power for just 5 minutes, all knowledge, all power, just for 5 minutes, I think there would be chaos in the world. Because suddenly you just look at people, leprosy, and anybody you don't like, break a leg. And those who are successful, whom you don't like, poverty. But when the Spirit of God, why? When the Spirit of God comes, he gives you communion with him and community with other people. You're not a lone ranger. I don't care about anybody. I'm anointed by God and nobody can tell me nothing. I'm the man. I don't like being bothered by people. They make me carnal. You are already carnal. And even Lone Ranger had Tonto. You missed that. Community with others. Healthy relationship. Koinonia. You've heard the word. Look at it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They were together having fellowship with one another. That is the real work of the Spirit. When the Spirit is at the center of God's work, they have fellowship with one another. They broke bread together. They had communion. They were in unity. They had partnership. They had association. They were together all the time. It wasn't superficial. Do you know that it is possible to come into a church and be very superficial about relationships? Greet your brother. Hey, hello. Praise God. And then you sit down. You see, But when the Spirit of God is working, there is real communion. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Real communion. Where the power of God is at work, there is real communion. Hallelujah. And then there is co-creativity toward the world. Not only communion, not only community, and there is co-creativity. The Bible says you are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ. You are God's workmanship. You are a partner in His working in the world. You are a partner. And so God wants you to work with Him. God wants you to be a co-creator with Him toward the world. That is the work of the Spirit. He wants you to come to a place where you bring transformation to a society because the Spirit of God has empowered you. Wherever you go into a home. You remember what Jesus did? He goes and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be upon you." When you go into a home, the presence and power of God must make a difference in that home. Don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. If you find turmoil, bring peace. If you find sadness, bring joy. If you find confusion, bring tranquility. That's the work of the Spirit, because you are a co-creator with God. The presence of God walks with you. You go with Him, and the circumstance changes around you. Do you know there are some people that you just like to be around with? You sit with them, there's just a peace around them. Are you here? You just sit with them, you walk into a home, and you sense the peace of God. I'm not being spooky, I'm just saying that the Lordship of Jesus Christ is evident in the home. Are you with me? There are some you sit next to, you start sweating. Is it hot? Eh? It's the man. So let's move on. And as I come to a close, I appreciate that I've got little time, but as I come to a close, I want us to zero in on the fact that you are the sign, instrument, and witness of God. God's mission to the world. The Spirit also gives you a heightened awareness of the power of the Word and of Jesus Christ. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God gives you a heightened awareness of your gift. We know that you have a gift. We know that you have a gift. But when the Spirit of God, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it gives you a heightened awareness of the power of the Word that we're reading and the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. Did you know that you can pray for the sick? Did you know that? The Bible says, "You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." You shall lay hands. It doesn't say a pastor shall. As a matter of fact, the work of the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You are the one doing the work of the ministry. Just try it one day. Try laying hands on your wife, I mean in a proper way. When she's not feeling well. Say, okay, I want to believe the word. Because I've been empowered by God to pray for the sick. You are sick. I used to lay hands on myself and I would recover. That was before I got married. Now she prays for me. I had a toothache and I just put my finger, because I couldn't lay hands, I put my finger inside. No, I decided to believe the word. Okay, so you have an awareness of your gift. And the church needs your gift. The kingdom of God needs your gift to operate, to maximize, to be effectual. So the Spirit also gives you a greater release of your gift and its effective use. Wouldn't it be nice, Pastor William, where we have people flowing in the Spirit? They're just flowing in the Spirit. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They are employing their gifts in the kingdom of God, because they are anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Lastly, let me just, as I close on the why, how do we get baptized? How do we get baptized? Acts chapter 8 and verse 17 tells us an incident where the word of God was preached. And of course, the first thing that you do, you need to be saved. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about salvation. You need to have a personal encounter with God in terms of you repenting and asking Jesus to come into your heart. We have a lot of good people, but good unsaved people, even in the church. You learn the jargon. You learn when to say amen. You learn when to say hallelujah. But that doesn't make you saved. There has to be a personal decision where the Spirit of God convicts your heart. And then you come and respond to. And I know that the word is preached well here. True conviction comes out of the word. And so when you get saved, you escape many things. Are you here? In fact, one major escape is hell. If you think I'm frightening you, I am. It is better I frighten you into the kingdom than to tell you it's okay and you go to hell. So, when you get saved, you make a personal decision. I accept, I receive Jesus. I repent of my sins. Because the Bible there says, repent and be baptized, all of you. I repent. God is not asking you for a favor. You are the one who needs God. Does somebody agree with me? I'm not going to church. We won't miss you. I'm not going to church, you know, because I just don't like, you know, what's happening. Okay, God, you know, see you next week. And then when we're in trouble, oh, Jesus. You need him. God does not need you in that context. But God needs you to work in his kingdom. Are you here? But you get saved first. And I pray that by the conviction of the Spirit of God, Jesus, the gift that was given for you and me, he died on the cross so that you might be free, that you might live a fulfilled life here on earth and be with him in glory. A simple, profound truth happened on the cross of Calvary. I had an interesting conversation with my 7-year-old son. He says, Daddy, you know, the devil is bad. I said, yeah. And he must have black blood. Very black. Dirty, you know, black. I said, no, he's a spirit. He doesn't have blood. He's a spirit. So I was trying to explain that. And he says, you know what, Jesus, we're having a conversation. I picked him up from school. So he's a very deep thinker. So he's thinking. So when Jesus, they were killing Jesus on the cross. He has nice blood. I said, yeah. The blood was flowing, you know. But, you know, he could have killed them. So I said, you know, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So he thought, you know, they were whipping him, and he said, forgive them. I said, yes. So he kept quiet for a moment, and then he said, ah, he's really good, eh? You know? Yes, he is. Let's submit to his will, amen? And yield to the Spirit of God, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's the one who baptizes. You receive. You don't baptize yourself. He's the one who baptizes. He gives you the utterance, but you do the speaking. Are you here with me? You will speak. Acts chapter 2 and verse 6 to 11. You look it up yourself. And in fact, the first time that the tongues are mentioned, it was to proclaim the power and the glory of God. To proclaim the power and the glory of God. At first mention, when the Spirit of God came upon people and they spoke in tongues, they spoke to glorify the Lord and to speak about his power. You will glorify God and you will speak about his power. And God will give you a prayer language as you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you here with me? Do we really believe this? Do we really believe it? Do we really believe the Bible? Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes? You came into this auditorium not by accident, and that I can tell you for a fact. You came into this auditorium not just because you wanted to pass time on Sunday because there's nothing else to do. You came into this auditorium not just because you were invited, not just because somebody felt that it would be a good idea for you to come. You came into this auditorium not because the church is near your home. You came into this auditorium not because you heard about the church. But you came into this auditorium because God had an appointment for you. That is why you are here. So I want to first of all give an opportunity for all of you who can honestly and sincerely say in your heart that I really do not know Jesus. I know about him. But the Bible says, those that have the Spirit of the Lord are the sons of God. And if you were to die today, you are not so sure what will happen to you. So I want to give you an opportunity. Those of you who wants to say, yeah, I want to enter the kingdom of God and I want to be saved. And I want to be absolutely sure today that I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a church. I'm not even talking about the church you come from. I'm not talking about the baptism you had many years ago. I'm talking about just being absolutely in the hand and in the house of God. Being born anew by the Spirit of God. Is there someone? Please just raise your hand. Raise your hand so I can see it. As I look across the auditorium, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Is there somebody who wants to give their lives to Jesus Christ? There's somebody there? Thank you for that hand. Is there somebody else? Don't let this moment pass you by. We went through this same process. In fact, for me, I went to the altar probably 5 times just to make sure. Is there somebody else on my right here? There's one there. Thank you. Is there somebody else there? There's another one there. Thank you. Anybody else on my left? There's one there. Thank you. Now, I want us to all be in prayer. This is the greatest moment. The Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven over the repentance of one sinner. And yes, we are all sinners. But you need to enter into the kingdom of God. And those of you who have raised your hands, please stand to your feet and just come and meet me here to the front as I pray with you. Don't be ashamed. It's a great decision you've made, the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. Please come, I'm waiting for you. Don't be afraid. Those of you who raise your hands to receive Jesus Christ, come to the front and let's pray together. I'm waiting for you. I couldn't see who raised their hands. There. It's all right. Don't force them. It's okay. I don't want to lose the opportunity for you to come to the Lord. So let's all pray together just briefly. Let's all agree together in prayer. Let's agree together in prayer. Thank you for coming. Is there somebody else? Another one coming? Thank you. Pastor William, can I come down? Okay. God bless you. You've made the greatest decision of your life. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Why don't you close your eyes and we'll pray. Let the house of God be praying. I want you to say these words after me. You're praying to God and not to me. Neither are you praying to the church. You're not even praying to join the church. You are committing your life to Jesus Christ because you've heard God's word. So why don't you just raise your hands as a sign of surrender. Raise your hands. It's okay. It's okay. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And today, I repent of my sins. And I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I promise to to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me in your house. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let me just pray for you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for these that have come forward. We pray, Lord, that your hand of grace be upon them as they start this new journey of faith. Grant them your grace, grant them your power, and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we commit them into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.